Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." You know, in Watford, England, in the late 1990s, there was a wind of change that was blowing through the land. A Protestant pastor by the name of Mike Plavacki had started something new, started something radical. He thought that what he needed to do was radically alter the nature of worship for his congregation. Now, why would he do this? He did this because his community, he recognized that their worship had grown stale, that everybody was just comfortable in doing what it was that they always done. There wasn't any sort of excitement, vim, or vigor in their worship each and every time they came to worship on Sundays. Pastor Mike was tired of his congregation lazily consuming worship instead of energetically and vigorously producing worship, actually engaging it in themselves. And worse still, he saw the very same thing in himself. So what did he do? Pastor Mike made a radical decision. And so what he did was he decided to boldly get rid of the sound system, cancel the band, to remove all this music so that all the music that would be given would have to be given from the own people's voices, from themselves, not from somebody else. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with Protestant worship, this is kind of like their thing. That's like most of what they have. They don't have the Eucharist. They don't have Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity present. So doing something like that is very, very radical. What else are they going to do? And so you can imagine what sort of shockwaves this sent through the entirety of the community. Pastor Mike, what his main point was that they'd lost focus in worship. They needed to get back to the very heart, the very center of worship by stripping away everything, everything that got between them and Jesus. And so these ripples that went through the entirety of the congregation, you know, that made those first couple weeks a little awkward, a little uncomfortable for everybody, because what are they going to do? They don't have anybody leading them in any sort of way. So what is the next step? Where do they go? Well, you know what eventually started to happen? Eventually, people from their own voices began to sing a cappella without the aid of this music. They began to lift up heartfelt prayers from their very being right in the middle of that worship. What it did was it created a change. They began encountering God in a new and a fresh way each and every time they came to worship. They weren't focused, you see, on the music. They weren't focused on their pastors who were there trying to lead them in some way. They began to be focused upon God and upon God alone. Only Him, facing in His direction. Everybody was looking together at Jesus again for the first time in a long time. You know, Pastor Mike's situation, I think, maps onto our readings, which we had today, very, very well. Because what is going on in our readings? Young Krista gave for us that beautiful reading of St. Abraham when he was arguing or bartering with God right there, showing that God is gracious and merciful. Even within our psalm that young Georgia Rose gave for us, it talks about that relationship of God's mercy. And in the gospel chiefly, what did the disciples ask Jesus? What question? What do? They say, "Lord, teach us how to pray." But that question isn't something that came out of the blue, right? It wasn't just that they were walking down the road with Jesus and said, "Hey, why don't you tell us something about prayer, Lord?" No, it was a purpose. Because what was going on in that very first sentence? You can read it in your little books right there if you want. The first sentence of the gospel. Jesus had just finished praying. He just finished praying, and his disciples saw that, and they said, "Man, we're really impressed with the way that Jesus prays. My prayer isn't like that. I want to be able to do it just like him." They were thinking to themselves, you know, "I don't really get a lot out of prayer. I don't see as prayer something that's easy. It's actually something really hard for me to get myself into. I'm often bored in prayer. I wonder if anybody's listening. I'm barely listening to myself." But when they looked at Jesus, they saw something different. Jesus actually enjoyed prayer. He loved prayer. Prayer changed Jesus' face in a way that they could see he was different after he prayed to God. When Jesus prays, he actually relishes it, taking to it like a fish takes to water, really moving in the freedom of that. And when Jesus prays, his prayers are actually answered. And from prayer, Jesus confidently goes forward in the world knowing that he is doing God's will. His prayer was different than theirs, and they wanted their prayer to be just like his. These were their thoughts as they went through. Brothers and sisters, how did Jesus pray? What did Jesus teach them? Was anybody paying attention? No. Of course, Jesus taught them the Our Father, that great prayer. Jesus taught them how to pray by giving them the Our Father. And we all know that prayer, right? We can rattle it off in our sleep a million times. We know this by heart. We pray it all the time. But have we ever really thought about the Our Father? Have we thought about what it means, what it's all about? Have we actually thought about it as a prayer manual, a manual for prayer that Jesus gave to his disciples and his disciples passed on to us so that we can pray in that same way? Because remember, they're ones who really wanted to get to know how Jesus prayed and to pray like him. Well, we could spend months going over every little petition in the Our Father and going through it. It's such a rich prayer. But I just want to first take a look at one thing, and that's the structure of the prayer. The structure of the Our Father is radical because it's all about one thing. It's all about focusing on God. Focusing on God. You see, every line actually refers to God. The Our Father is about how awesome God is. That he can give us every good gift. He's powerful enough that he can forgive every single sin that you or I can ever commit. And that his example of forgiving us is an example for how we ought to forgive others when they fail and sin against us. His example teaches us that, and that even God is powerful enough to keep us from falling into the power of the evil one if we put our trust in him who is Father. That's what the Our Father is about. Every single line focuses upon God. Upon God. And so when we pray, brothers and sisters, all our prayer needs to be focused directly upon God as well, in the same way. But a second thing I think we can learn from the Our Father, just from its structure, is how does it begin? How does this prayer of the Our Father begin? No, that's wrong. Read. Were you paying attention to what the deacon said? It doesn't start Our Father. The prayer starts Father. In Luke, it starts differently than Matthew. The one we pray each and every day is the one from Matthew. But in Luke, it just says, Father. Father. And that's an amazing change. It's something I think we need to pay attention to focus upon. Because what is it? It's basically just saying, Dad. Dad is a familiar and casual expression. And so is our prayer to God. It makes you feel like when you say Father, when you say Dad, like you're face to face with God. Like he's right there, and that you're close enough just to say, Dad. And when you say Dad, what's going to happen? You know that his head's going to turn to you, that he's going to be looking at you face to face. And so that's the point. He's not far off someplace distant in heaven, but God is actually very close. Close enough to when you say Dad, you know he's going to turn and look at you. He wants to be face to face with you. And so Jesus gives us within this prayer, the Our Father that we pray all the time, two things to teach us about prayer, specifically that our prayer is only supposed to focus upon God. And that God is close enough to us to be face to face with us, cara a cara. That close with us, which means he's close enough for us to turn to him and for him to turn to us at the same time. Because that's what real worship is. It's all about focusing on God. It's all about becoming face to face with Jesus. You know, that story that I was telling you, there's a little bit more to it. I left something out. What's more? You see, that story of Pastor Mike, remember what he did was he removed all the instrumentation and all that from their worship so that they could focus upon God and God alone to get to really to the very heart of what worship is all about, right? Remember that. Well, this extended for an entire season. And after that season, one of his parishioners, who was a young man, who was a worship leader himself, got inspired by his prayer. He took this time and time again to prayer, and God spoke to him. And he wrote down a little meditation that God gave to him there. And in fact, he even set it to some very simple music. And so the next day, he came up to his pastor and said, look, this is what God said to me in prayer this is what I think we've been working on. And he said, I think we need to share this with the whole community because that hits the nail on the head. So I'm going to share it with you right now. And I think some of you may know what Matt wrote. It's a very, very popular song. I won't sing it for you now. I was debating whether or not to do it, but there wasn't a guitar, so I'm not going to play it for you. So it's really simple like this. Pay attention to the words. It begins, when the music fades and all is stripped away and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song because a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. Beautiful words, are they not? Really getting to the heart of what worship is all about. I think it carries within a very, very important kernel of truth with us that we can take to, that the very center of worship is not the songs that we sing, right? It's not the beautiful vestments that the priest wears or the great and glorious statues and religious art that we have here adorning our whole church and the sanctuary. It's not about that. It's not about having a good homily or great readings, or it's not about that imaginary sort of thing that we call the magic hour that Mass needs to stay within. It's not about that. The heart of worship is really just about focusing on Jesus. Focusing on Him. That's what it's all about. Our worship at Holy Mass is really about turning ourselves from each other, from whatever else that we're turned to, and turning toward the Lord. Turning our complete focus to Him. That's all that Jesus wants. And everything else that we do or have, really it pales in comparison to attending to He who is worthy of all our worship and praise. That's why you see, maybe you noticed this when you came into Mass today, why we have a different orientation at Mass. You know, the young people know about this because we've been doing it all week. We have a different orientation for our worship today because we're all today turning together to face the Lord, to face Jesus in our worship, because just like Pastor Mike, sometimes our worship can be rather stale, can't it? Like, we're very comfortable in what it is that we do entering into these sacred mysteries here at Mass. We realize, you know, we don't really have to do much to see God. He's going to show Himself. We don't have to make any effort, and so we don't, right? We just come in here and do the same thing that we always do. We sit back and just sort of like we're watching a show. Maybe we should just bring popcorn and enjoy it. But is that what we're about? See, our familiarity sometimes with these sacred mysteries at least causes a flippancy or a nonchalance within our worship, if not an outright contempt for it. So what we need, brothers and sisters, is a bit of a shakeup. A shakeup in our worship, and we need to get back to the very heart of what worship is. We need to focus upon God, upon that intimacy that we should have with the Father, with Dad, a face-to-face worship. Looking Him, seeking Him, joining Him together, looking at Him face to face. That's why we're turning to the Lord within our worship. Because when Jesus comes to us at Holy Mass, where does He come? Where does He come? Where does He arrive at Mass? Right there upon the altar, right? In the Eucharist. He comes down to us on the altar in the Eucharist. And so what we need to do as a whole community is to turn toward Him and worship Him, to praise Him. If you notice something about Mass, when the priest faces y'all, what happens is he becomes the very center of attention. Everybody's eyes are glued to Him, and everything it is, you notice everything about Him, right? You notice, did He part His hair perfectly on the right today? Is it all right? Did He shave or did He not? Is He tired? Does He have bags underneath His eyes? When He's sniffling, you're wondering what's going on there. You see everything that He does. You wonder, how does He celebrate Mass? Is He really stern? Or is He smiling the whole time? What is it? You see all those things. And the priest becomes the very center of your worship. But really, he shouldn't be, right? If he becomes the center, really he becomes a distraction from what real worship is. Because the priest isn't God. And our worship is only supposed to be focused upon God. All the priest wants, he just wants to worship God. Remember, we talked about this 3 weeks ago, that all he wants to do is to look at God, to focus upon God, to see God and God alone. And the priest wants to join you all in your worship, together, not in opposition to one another, but together. He wants to hide and vanish so that all you can see is Jesus himself. That's all he wants. So at Mass, when we're celebrating Mass, to whom does the priest talk? He talks to God, not to the people. When the priest celebrates Mass, to whom does he offer the sacrifice? He offers it to God. He doesn't offer it to the people. So where should all of our worship be directed then? It should be directed to God, not to ourselves. So the priest is in front of everybody, right? But why? Why is he in front of everybody? It's not so that he can be seen, because really he shouldn't be seen. He doesn't want to be seen. The priest is at the front of the people for one reason, and that's to lead them forward into worship. To be at the very head of the people, leading them to show them how to seek the very face of God in worship. But when he worships against you or towards you, he and Jesus begin to compete for your attention. And if he's not disciplined, he's going to focus you on him instead of on God. The priest becomes a distraction from what real worship is. Because what is the real heart of worship all about? It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So at Mass today, brothers and sisters, and really forever, forever, we are going to turn toward the Lord with our worship. All of us will face Jesus, not in opposition to one another, but together in one movement of worship to gaze upon the beauty of Christ Jesus and his glory together. We turn to the Lord following Jesus just as he taught his disciples in the Our Father. That real worship is what? It's all about focusing upon God and facing Jesus together. So let's come back to the heart of worship, because it's all about Jesus. It's all about him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.